This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. Without Gareth Cliff, my name is Ben Karpinski, and I'm ably supported today and co-hosted with Sia Sangweni.
Ably supported. Love that. Okay.
Well, you know, like when people do things, when they do, like, I don't know, the Oscars or whatever.
Oh, bad example to use, but okay.
Why? What's wrong with the Oscars?
How long do you have for me to answer that question?
Jeepers, yeah, this is a very strident stance straight off the bat here. I thought you still love this thing.
But yes, please do continue on with your answer.
Anyway, so there's Sia Sangweni and Mavali Maloy is here.
Yo.
Alrighty. It is Thursday. Gareth is, if you haven't noticed already, not here this whole week.
Am I the only one who feels like this week is moving really fast? I'm not complaining.
No, it's moving far too slow for me.
I don't know, Sia. It's like one of those weeks where, you know, a day follows the next day.
Oh, okay.
Amazing concept.
It's just the concept of time again.
Amazing concept. How. Yeah.
And then there's going to be another week next week.
It's bizarre, I know. I mean, let's not give all the secrets of life away in the first 5 minutes here. Let's try to slow play this a bit. So Gareth's still in Velder's air, mm-hmm. and he seems to be having a good time. He put something on Instagram, which I thought was quite interesting. He was doing like a tour of his room, but he sounded like he'd literally just got home and it's like 9 a.m. Yeah, like a voice like gravel.
Oh, was he drunk?
He sounded...
I think he just woke up.
Look, I think when you go there as well, it's cold, okay? So it's winter, it's snow. Mm. So you kind of... You don't drink because you for the sake of drinking. You drink for, like, health purposes.
Heat.
Yeah, as to keep warm.
Retain heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are essentially African people, so we don't have that ability to understand cold. Like, we get cold here, but it's not like snow. Now, the concept of winter, both visually and physically, isn't something that we have. So yeah, that's where we stand today.
Did you hear that one of his friends got engaged there?
Yes.
And he was actually in the know about it.
Well, yeah, I think he by mistake told me like a while ago. So it's a mutual friend of ours. And yeah, he's been seeing this girl for a couple of years. They seem to be very much in love.
Now that puts pressure on everyone else in the circle.
Of course it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
So yeah, get your head out of a Hollywood movie.
No. Not to get married. No, that's besides the point. The way in which he proposed.
Yeah, but he's got, like, he's a successful guy.
Yeah, but still, if I'm in that circle and my friend...
If you are feeling pressured because of how somebody in your circle got engaged, then you are an idiot.
Yes. He took the girlfriend and the friends on this trip so that she was in the know about. Then when she got there, her family was also there.
Yeah. But Sia, if you can't afford to fly your soon going to be fiancé to France, then why are you feeling pressured?
No.
You can't afford it. Shame. Next.
To any potential suitors, if you can't fly me to France, then let's not do this thing.
Wow, Sia, you really are making yourself quite niche, huh? I mean, you've really got some things. Hang on. So I could say when I walked in this morning, normally I walk in and I've just had like a 10-minute bike trip, so I feel quite invigorated.
Oh.
And then I come in, my buddy and Sia are here, like they're talking amongst each other and just, I don't know, doing whatever, prep or whatever. Oh. And Sia is sort of like, Mubs, like, where are his pants on?
What?
When I walked in, his belt was flapping around.
That's a bit escalated. My pants were on.
Okay, firstly, why are you dressed so smart today?
Well, excuse me, I just have things to do today.
Yeah.
Like I have a meeting at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. So you don't just walk into the Nelson Mandela Foundation in slops and a t-shirt.
Yeah, so Sia's dressed like he's about to propose to someone, actually.
Yes.
But now, just not in France.
But like your tie's all over the place.
Well, I have to admit that I still can't do a tie. So I'm hoping in the course of like the next 3 hours of the show, I'll find someone who can do a tie.
You're hoping to meet an officer and a gentleman who can tie you a Windsor?
Not that dramatic, but I just can't do a tie.
So then, what?
Yeah, and I went through 5 years of an all-boys school where we wore ties and I still can't do a tie.
Okay, all right. So who's going to tie this for you here in the office?
As I look around this room this morning, my trusty, what did you call us at the top of the show? Ably supported by...
Yeah, ably supported. My tie. You ably supporting.
You able supporters will possibly help me. I don't know, I'll find someone.
So I finally got around to watching that movie, Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Uh-huh.
It is so good.
This is the second one in the series.
It is indeed. It is so good. It's long. It's like 3 hours. You know, Gareth was gushing over it. And Gareth's not one to really gush over movies that obviously weren't, you know, based when he was born in the 30s. And it was just so fun. It was so clever. It was so well shot. The actors were so good. But then it made me think, like, when if you watch secret agent movies, like spy movies, obviously it all starts when James Bond goes on like that. Like, how cool would it be to have, you know, like, we go to, like, boot camp if we're fat, or, you know, people, like, there's yoga and there's all kinds of other things you can do after hours to learn a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be really cool to have like a secret agents kind of academy, like you go to and you can like play with gadgets and you can learn certain tricks, and you like, my mind was just like going overtime how cool this would be as like a team building and or like skill to have,
or learn how to kill.
Well, exactly. Oh, you'd learn how to kill. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as a survival mechanism.
As a survival mechanism, you'd learn to take it. Yes, of course, obviously.
But just phone Justice and ask him to tag along with him on a Friday. Because
Justice
goes to some other training academy for secret agents.
I think Justice finished his training about 30 years ago.
Just ask him.
He's in the field. We're talking about just basically getting a skill. No, I mean, obviously Justice is a professional and he obviously works alone. But like all good secret agents. But it'd be such a cool thing to do. Like, whenever you watch these movies, obviously the gadgets cost like a bajillion dollars and you'll never be able to get the stuff they have. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really cool. There's like robot dogs and all this kind of thing. But to learn these skills, it would be so awesome. It would just be the coolest thing. You could have like secret agent camps. Like, I'd be down for that all day. And then you could give them like special code names.
What would yours be, Ben?
I don't know.
Would it be a number?
Yeah, good question, actually. See, I haven't really thought that far, but that's the thing. As you arrive, you'd be assigned a code name.
Yes.
And then that's it. Like, you'd only ever refer to each other with code names. I mean, I know I'm being an absolute child about this, but it sounds like fun.
I'd want something like Sexy Panther or That Bitch. Imagine undercover.
So you want something that is completely unassuming.
Yes,
when you hear That Bitch, you don't immediately think, ooh, that bitch is going to kill me because they are some other kind of secret agent. You just think,
we're out on the field.
What idiot is this?
Agent That Bitch. How does the scene look?
Now, Sexy Panther, we need you to blend in. Ah, yes. That's not one of my superpowers.
Oh, gosh.
What of those two? But so, as dramatic as it sounds, and I hate to bring this topic up because I feel like we talk about it all the time.
Yeah,
but
unfortunately... Today we're not talking about Jacob Zuma.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, when you talked about spies, I actually was watching something yesterday. I was giving it a 20-minute chance because I felt like it was too long. But you know the actress Rose McGowan, and Mabala, you mentioned this as well a few days ago.
Mm.
She's one of the main people who broke the entire Harvey Weinstein scandal last year.
Yes, we chatted about her, yeah.
Yeah, so she now has a mini documentary out.
Mm.
And in it, then it chronicles her whole journey of her speaking out and how she's writing a book. And this was filmed late last year. But in writing the book, what she actually discovered was Harvey Weinstein, and they discuss this in the documentary as well. It sounds so bizarre, but Harvey Weinstein actually hired spies to go against some of these women who were about to speak and like expose him.
Oh, it's old news.
Yeah, like Israel. I didn't know this. I feel like we.
No, he hired like again
Israeli spies.
Basically, he hired Kingsman people, but like the dodgy types.
Crazy.
No, this guy, everyone was like, oh, shame, he's got a problem. No, he's a complete and utter piece of shit. Like, he's a calculated creep.
Yeah, in
this
a word.
This isn't like, oh, okay, well, I felt a bit horny today and I already had a bottle of scotch, so I took my clothes off. No, this guy plots his way around being a creep and taking advantage of manipulating women. That's his modus operandi.
That is so weird. He had one of these spies get close to Rose as a women's rights activist and approached Rose saying, I'm so interested. I'd like to get to work with you. You're doing amazing work. But basically met with Rose so that Rose could trust her.
Yeah.
And eventually managed to get the manuscript of the book she was writing, which was exposing Harvey. And the spy was able to steal it from her. It seems like seriously something out of The Kingsman. But the fact that this creep of a man was doing this just shows his creepnessness even more. But,
well, it also just shows that, I mean, I don't know how what the be-all, end-all of these cases are. Okay, so we find out that they're creeps. Bill Cosby was in court. All these women came forward. I mean, like, what's really happened there? He's not going to do jail time, right?
Yeah.
So same with Harvey. Like, what is the thing that he can be prosecuted for, he can be put in jail for? Because unfortunately, just being a fat, ugly creep still isn't against the law. It's not a crime.
It's a tough one because there's so many women who have spoken out about it, but I don't think any of them have actually laid a charge against him. So he won't find himself having to face some other kind of consequence. Not really.
I wonder, I think, man, I don't know, maybe it might be all of these loopholes as well.
But then again, can you charge someone for exposing themselves in front of
indecent
you?
Indecent exposure. That's a thing, isn't it?
Public indecency?
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't think that holds, you know, a 2-year term with it. Like, no, probably, I think it's just a slap on the wrist or a fine and then that's it.
Ew. Okay.
So let's just take it to the court of public opinion. I'm not one to condone violence, but just like the guy who I mentioned a few days ago who punched Harvey out in public, literally sitting at a restaurant, he scans over. What did you do when you see Harvey at the dinner table next to you?
Well,
I just went over and just punched him.
Okay, so like, we got a new challenge. Today, we're not allowed to speak about Harvey Weinstein,
yes,
Jacob Zuma, Angus Buchan.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, hey, he's fun.
Angus,
he's still fun.
Geez, I still can't get over that. And,
So I take it you're not going to the march, but okay.
No, screw that guy. I really do hope he gets knifed by a gangster. Sorry, I didn't say that. Just meant it out loud.
Just
charlatans.
Edit that.
Absolutely hate these people. So exciting news here. Exciting news. Victoria Beckham.
Uh oh.
Took a picture with the rest of the Spice Girls. So you know what that...
Excuse me, my ballet.
What?
Get more excited, please.
No.
What did posh baby ginger scary...
I have zero reason to get excited.
Was the other one?
Don't ask her.
Not for Paprika
Sporty?
Spice.
Sporty?
Sporty.
A belly's face just screwed up like I just broken wind when I turned my computer around for this picture.
Yeah, I saw this picture actually a while ago.
So yeah, there's... Whatever happens with these poor women... Because the whole thing about being in a band is that, I mean, look, Robbie Williams and...
Take that.
Prime example. He went on and made something by himself.
Yeah.
Spice Girls, the same kind of thing. Mm. I mean, like, what happened to Scary after Spice?
Well, she's judging America's Got Talent now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
No, but actually, if you think about it, Victoria and Scary are really the...
The ones who are still
relevant. The ones who kind of stayed in the limelight. The other three, what did they do?
Your baby's not a baby anymore.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're not going to go too far in your career when you're baby Spice. I think she had the least chance of adult marketability, they were adults.
I think the last time she was newsworthy was when she popped out a baby, and it, you know, there was like a nice play on words.
Yeah.
Or wasn't she also invited to the royal wedding? Kate and... Will?
I don't know.
No, that's it.
So there's talk of this being a reunion tour, but of course they said, no, we can't tour, but we might get together again. But then this, the funniest part of the story, and yes, I was drawn to the story. Okay. I'm sorry if you don't find it interesting, is that Posh has no interest in singing again because she doesn't want to jeopardize her fashion career.
Of course. Victoria's got it made, guys.
Listen, it's a funny one for me because it's not as if Victoria has ever known how to sing, but we'll quickly move past from that.
Jeepers, Mabali, were you a teenager slashing Spice Girls posters? You like go to your friend's house, go, ah, Spice Girls.
And did you ever get into the stickers and the Spice Girls sneakers?
No. I remember watching the movie, though, the Spice Girls movie.
What is it called? Spice World.
Spice World. But, you know, since then, Victoria has upgraded herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that she looks at the rest of them and she thinks, they're a little bit beneath me.
True.
She really has had an upgrade in her life. She married the Beckham guy. She now rolls.
That's just it, yeah.
She hangs out with Hollywood elite as far as the fashion world is concerned. Right now, the Spice Girls are beneath her. Shame.
But there she is, posting a picture on Instagram. So, who's the one that Eddie Murphy knocked up?
Scary Spice.
Scary. Okay,
Mel B.
Sorry. Okay, I got it mixed up because Sporty always scared me. That's why I thought she was Scary Spice.
Why did she scare you?
She just looked rough. She's like a kind of chick that would like challenge you to a game of dodgeball and like knock your teeth out.
It's funny that she was like the lead back in the day, and now she's the one who's doing
well. It's because she had this gruff voice, and then the rest of them were like, So she was that perfect balance. So she was like, she was quite street.
By you mean they basically all had the talent that Mabali was speaking about, which is essentially being able to whisper on a beat.
No, look.
Whisper to beats of music. Oh, was it singing, guys?
Let's make this perfectly clear. The Spice Girls were not the Pussycat Dolls. Okay?
Yeah.
They had some ability about them. Anyway, so I just thought it was kind of funny how Victoria has no interest in singing, even if they do get back together, because she doesn't want to jeopardize her main career and detract from it.
Mm.
So then what would she do? Would she just like sort of half white girl dance on the side?
Would she even be there? Didn't rumors of a Spice Girl reunion surface a while ago before, and she immediately said, no, I'm not about that life.
No, most she ever did in terms of a reunion was at the Olympics, and it was the opening ceremony, and the Spice Girls all got together there, and all she did was just, they all drove in cars, and she just stood there like, okay, and waved to the crowd. You can't see Sporty Spice doing this, you know, Posh Spice doing this. It's past her now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Listen, to be fair, it's past all of them. These are older women.
Yeah.
Spice Girls, no, you're not a Spice Girl. You're a 40-plus-year-old woman, either with a baby Spice, or, you know, with an ex-husband, Mel B, or with, like,
your teeth have now become brown, Victoria Beckham. So
like,
tea.
You're not a Spice Girl. Come now. It's ridiculous.
I think this is a problem with all of these new reboots. I think there's a time and a place for certain reboots, like just, I think last week or the week before, they were saying that Martin might have a reboot, and remember that was Martin Lawrence and his whole comedy series, which is, I'm not being blunt here, but it was basically like the Black Friends, and you were thinking about it's like these early 20-somethings getting their life together, living in the same apartment building. Now you're like, no, we don't want to see you guys do that now.
How do we feel about these 90s shows being rebooted all the time?
Well, see, the problem with all these things is it's just like music, is that when you're young or young age, your life is good, so therefore you think everything else is good.
Yes.
So the reason why I want to bring up the Spice Girl this morning is that when we get older, our lives become shittier because we become shittier.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I mean, I woke up this morning and I just felt like I had nothing to give humanity. I felt tired. I felt just fed up.
You're vlogging. Hold on to that. That's something.
But that's just it. Because I was editing last night till about 11 o'clock after watching this movie. And I got up and I was just so finished. And like my cat looked at me like I was a mess. I creaked my way downstairs and fed her. And she was like, ugh, why do you bother? So whatever song I hear on the back of that, I'm going to be like, nah. But when you're young and everything's so exciting, you can hear the shittest music. But forever, forever in your mind, you will look back and go, oh, yeah, what a cool song. I remember that because, you know, I was like, you know, doing this and doing that and I was young and not getting any hangovers. So same with these shows. It's like 90s shows were cool because TV was still a thing. Like, you'd be home at 7 or you'd be in front of the TV at 6:30.
It was an event.
You spoke about it with your friends at school. And it gives you all these kind of like memory cues of what it was like to be part of that experience. Like, I remember watching, again, because last night, I'm sorry, someone told me I mustn't mention the protest. Sorry, Greg. But last night, I was watching a bit of the cricket as well because the protests are crap right now. You make easy money on betting against them. It's like shorting a stock. And I was looking at that Newlands ground, and I remember with the absolute amazement, I used to go watch cricket there as a kid because I'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool. I look at this now, it's like, this is the most missable experience of my entire life. So to get back to Airwolf or, I don't know, Blossom.
MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. All these different things. You would go, oh, that's so cool. You watch it now, it's like, what else is on?
Yeah.
It's...
It's kind of sad, but really that time and that phase is over.
Like, even if you had to bring Baywatch back, it wouldn't be the same.
You were raving about the movie, though. Yes,
the movie was great. The movie was amazing, and I still stand by it. Two of the best movies I've watched the last year, Baywatch and Kingsman.
Oh, jeez, wow.
See, okay.
I'm not here to judge. I'm just noting.
You were half dressed when I walked in yesterday. You have no higher ground on me on anything.
No,
whatsoever.
My shame and embarrassment levels are just always low.
Yeah, but so this whole like rebooting of things, it's the same with movies as well. It's like you watch a movie a certain time of your life, it's great. You're not going to get the same audience.
Yeah.
So in order to get a new audience to have that same feeling, you can't use the same thing because they're not going to relate to it. So therefore, it's just you being lazy.
And the possible backlash that you face is millennials just criticizing what was wrong with your show to begin with, like they have been doing with Friends.
You think about, for example, what you guys rant and rave about in the best way possible, which is Black Mirror Now and Game of Thrones. And what you love most about those shows are the twists and the compelling script and how it's draws you in. And you think about what Baywatch was, we're like,
well, I mean, it was a couple of people running up and down a beach.
Really?
And, you know.
I tell you what, Baywatch
never be able to survive.
I tell you what, Baywatch was soft porn in a watchable hour without your parents catching you.
Oh,
for a lot of people,
okay.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah,
it was like, well, I can try, I don't know, buy magazines or whatever, or hang out with those dodgy guys from school. Or I can just watch Baywatch. It's like,
school.
You know, it's just like, well, I can do drugs or I can have a beer. And that was Baywatch. It was always just like that entry level.
The beer.
Because that's what it is. You know, during your formative years, this is the kind of things you're drawn to.
But even music now as well, really, if we go back to the Spice Girls and they try to come back and they're singing about, tell you what I want, what I really, really want. In the day and age of music now being shake that, tap that, lick that, and the music video being incomplete, basically, without girls running in bikinis, sorry, Michael Jackson and a little dance, you won't be able to make it. So, yeah, it's sad, but these are times, guys.
Like, you imagine, like, they want to reboot the moonwalk. People go like, yeah.
Oh,
it has its time. It's had. So
yeah.
It's had its time.
But it's fascinating how these things date so bad. You like, Michael, with his one glove grabbing his crotch. I mean, straight away, throw that man in prison.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, that was a dance move.
And his glitter socks. Can't leave out the socks.
Glitter socks, his pedophile glasses, and the fact that he kept grabbing his crotch.
Aviators are cool.
Yeah,
still
but
to this day.
He hit the mirror, check me, check backs kind of thing.
I'm here for that. Where you look at someone and you see your own reflection in their glasses. Yeah.
You talk like you want to get abducted.
Wow.
Anyway, we have moved on to 6:30.
Yes.
We have Sia. Who is our guest today?
We have
a guest just in the 7:30 slot.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is no Justice Malala. If you haven't picked up just yet, the Burning Platform now moves on to a Monday. So the latest and greatest in political House of Carding is on a Monday.
House of
Justice Malala, Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, which means it isn't with the Thursday.
This morning, we actually have two guests popping in. Ooh. We have at 7:30, she's a young lady, an entrepreneur. She has a corporate career at a bank, but also she's set up this amazing, amazing website, which is about basically leading young professionals. And her name is Zimasa. So we'll be chatting to her at 7:30. And then at 8, we have a new interview for you, which Gareth recorded before he left with Kuli Chana. Now, remember that Kuli Chana, as accomplished and as great as he is as a musician, he also went through quite a lot in the past few years, especially I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when he was mistakenly gunned down by the police.
Of course.
And that mistaken identity situation. Yeah. Yes. And now he's been able to channel all of that into a lot of many creative projects. He's received accolades around the world in Cannes, for example, for his music and his creative work. So they chat to each other. Well, Gareth chats to him about that and his entire profession and his passions as well. So two new interviews coming your way this morning.
Nice.
But yeah, as we were talking about musical artists a little earlier, forget the Spice Girls at this point and forget any other reboots, because Castle Light Unlocks is all about the new and the new amazing ones as well. So previously, as you know, they've brought us Kanye West in the country, they've brought us Drake, and they've brought us J. Cole as well. So now Castle Light are bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper to the exhilarating Extra Cold experiences. The concert takes place, if I do my math properly, it's about 2 months away. It takes place on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. So if you want to get involved, get your tickets now from CompuTicket. You don't want to miss this. Hashtag Castle Light Unlocks exclusive.
Very nice, yeah. Thank you very much. Very well, very ably supported there.
Ably supported. That sounds like a description for a bra. That's my only problem with it.
Clever. Yeah.
No, it's not clever. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's a nice tagline. All right, so into the five things you need to know this morning, and here is my bunny Malloy.
Well, the deputy president yesterday took to Twitter to try and let us all in on what exactly went down between him and the president in one of those Million and Five meetings. Ramaphosa confirming yesterday that yes, he did indeed meet with Zuma, saying that their discussion was constructive and laid the basis for a speedy resolution to the leadership question in South Africa. So the deputy president's just trying to allay some other type of fear there. Thank goodness for Twitter, who, when they do get it right, can really turn your day into an even better one, because very quickly yesterday the hashtag Zuma is gone party took over as people started predicting just how exactly they're going to be getting down when President Jacob Zuma does eventually step off of his seat. So if you log on to the hashtag Zuma is gone party, you'll come across some funny memes there of people posting pictures of crates and crates and crates of alcohol, because, you know, what's a party without alcohol, and videos of people dancing uncontrollably. So people just using Twitter to have a bit of fun, to just highlight their day in their lives.
This is how we get through it in this country.
This is how we get through it in this country, Ben, through hashtags and alcohol. The Nelson Mandela Foundation also hopped onto the bandwagon, reiterating their call for the president to resign. The foundation saying that they have been calling for the president's resignation for over a year now, and have now reached a point where South Africans can no longer wait for the president to do so. Okay. Now let's go over to Zimbabwe, where the main opposition party, the MDC, has insisted that their party leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, is recovering well in a Johannesburg hospital and will be back soon to prepare for elections. The reason that they have come out with the statement is because Tsvangirai was admitted to hospital in January. He was in a critical condition when that happened, and a number of senior MDC officials were quoted as saying that Tsvangirai was at death's door.
Yeah, he looked a bit rough in the last pictures I saw.
He is failing to eat and even passing out. But then the spokesperson for the MDC, Obert Gutu, has come forward refuting the claims, saying that Tsvangirai has been showing significant progress and will soon be returning to Zim to prepare for elections, which are scheduled to take place later this year.
Very nice.
Yeah. Now, I know that this is going to sound weird, but have you ever thought that there was a time where you were going to ask what Kylie Jenner and Julius Malema have in common?
No.
What?
No.
What? I mean, you'll remember earlier this week, Sia, you alerted us to the news that Kylie Jenner welcomed his baby. I think it happened this week, right?
Her baby, yeah.
Sorry, her baby. My mistake. A lot of people reacting to the chosen name for the baby, Stormy. I don't know why you're surprised, because if you are a celebrity of a certain caliber in Hollywood, your child cannot have just an average name. It's got to be an out there name. So a lot of people having a bit of fun with Kylie's child's name. But the reason that she has something in common with Julius Malema is because yesterday he welcomed a child into his family. In fact, this is his third son. Yes. He also took to Instagram to announce that his beautiful wife has given birth to their third child, whose name is Kopano. So, yes, in a world of all types of things happening, a Julius Malema and a Kylie Jenner finally having something in common. So those are the five things that you need to know, and I'll have more news stories for you after seven.
Well, Babs, I'll tell you what, you really brought it home at the end there with that story.
It's a story of unity above anything else. No. Two worlds coming together.
It's a story of like mindless news. You got to have a bit of mindless news every now and again.
I get you.
You've got to balance the Jacob Zumas of the world with the Kylie Jenners of the world.
I mean, look, I threw out Spice Girls about 10 minutes ago, so I hear you. I hear you. In the cryptocurrencies, they seem to be coming back a little bit. Bitcoin is on $8,207. Ethereum, $818. And I must read you something that a friend of mine posted on Facebook about cryptocurrency, which is very interesting.
Okay.
Cryptocurrency, amidst all the doom and gloom, Singapore has just announced has no intention of making crypto illegal. The market is still three times what it was 6 months ago. Australia's big four banks have no intention of barring people from buying crypto. Banks are starting to use crypto for cross-border payments. The stock markets are $1 trillion down this week. Oh. Crypto markets are actually doing better. Bitcoin ATM installations are on the rise. How about that? Singapore Airlines wants to use blockchain technology for its loyalty program. Europe's largest utilities companies is ready and willing to sell renewable energy to cryptocurrency miners. Bittrex about to reopen user signups and add US dollar trading options. The CFCT chair declares that the aim is to protect the consumer with a do-no-harm approach to the regulation of it. Everything is still on sale. So, I mean, it's quite a long article that goes on, but what my friend was basically getting at here is that, yes, it's a downtime, but, you know, some markets do, because this is what trading is, and it's something that we can all trade. So maybe it isn't the end, the death. People love saying it because, you know, like, everything that became popular, you either love it or you hate it. You pick a side.
Yeah.
And if you're not in it, then you hate it. And if you're in it, then you stick with it. That's what we do as humans. We're always trying to find ways of fighting.
This is true.
You just got to find a way of farting.
This is what we do best.
Yeah, that's what we do best. Now, look, I've got to talk about the Proteas, because this is the sport. This is what I do here. This is the sport. It's with me, Ben. And, well, you know, you can tiptoe around it, or you can just call it what it is. The Proteas are absolutely shit right now.
How long have they been shit?
Well, see, Mavs, the thing is, like, the Proteas are generally, they have the ability to be the best in the world for given periods. I mean, they went into the series ranked the best team in the world. They won the test series, albeit losing the third test and the horrible pitch of the Wanderers. But the problem is, there's just no depth in SA cricket anymore. And it's a horrible indictment on the domestic platform. So we all know transformation is a huge buzzword in all of cricket. And I still believe that it's a positive thing, because it's going to unearth more talent. And when you unearth more talent, you've got more players to choose from, high competition. This is what it should be in my perfect world. And this is how I see it. Call me naive, but that's how I look at transformation. But then, you know, I put something in my blog yesterday about during the Varsity Cup, what do you call it? It's just Varsity Sports. So they do cricket, they obviously do rugby, and they do a whole bunch of other things. In this, there obviously are transformation targets. So you have to have only a certain amount of whites. You can't have too many whites. Mm. It's as simple as that. So something ridiculous is happening at this level, is that if some of your black players get injured and you're only left with the whites, then you can actually you play with less people.
Welcome. If this is a hit, it is a hit. So Lloyd wins the toss. What are you going to do, Lloyd? We're going to have the bats. Influence of that decision?
A couple of influences. Unfortunately, we're going to only be fielding with 10 players again today due to a couple of circumstances outside of our control, and Varsity Sports had enforced the rule that we can only field with 10 players. So, you know, just setting a target and maybe hopefully with the 10 players be able to some control in the field, and also with the outfield being a little bit damp, we feel that the ball...
I'm not going to play the whole interview, basically. Because some of the Madiba's black players were called up for higher honours in the Momentum Cup, a couple of them were injured, they were only left with the whites, and they said, "Oh, screw it, you guys can't play with the full team then. You'll play with one less player." How is this ever going to help the players? So, okay, so the guys who are in the team of that 10, now on the back foot, they're now going to get beaten. They're not going to become better. This is just stupidity. This is hiding behind protocols. This is just stupidity. And we see it around, it's just this new norm of mediocrity. So this isn't a transformation debate. The Proteas are really crap right now. They got hammered by, I mean, over 100 runs again. They lost by 124 runs yesterday. And what the reason why I'm bringing this up in a serious nature, and I don't normally get in-depth to the stories here on the sports bulletins, but we look at a guy like Kai Zondo coming into the mix. Fish out of water. This guy is not anywhere near this level. But why not? He's in the domestic seasons. He's been putting in all the hard work. He deserves to be there. And I rightly so. Select him. Put him in there. But he is just a reflection of how poor the domestic leagues are and the levels below international cricket. It's been so cool that back in the day, we've always had Morne Morkel, Dale Steyn, Hashim Amla, Abel Avilas, Faf du Plessis, all these guys, because they just play international cricket. They never have to worry about domestic stuff, so they're always high. These guys fall away, and then we're left with the next layer. The next layer is horribly inept at this level, and this Indian team is just literally making them their bitches. Three games in a row now, Mabs. Three crushing losses. Virat Kohli has scored 318 runs. The Proteas have scored 567. One man versus 11 men times three matches. Look at the wickets. 21 wickets have been taken by two Indian spinners. The entire Proteas team has taken 10 wickets over the three matches. Saturday is the next game. The Pink ODI at the Wanderers. The Proteas have never lost a Pink ODI, but they're going to lose this one. They just have no answer to the spin in the middle overs. Their bowlers are really ineffectual right now, and the batsmen just don't seem to have any application. They're all walking out there with no confidence. Hashim Amla is a walking wicket, and he's meant to be the senior guy in the team. But I tell you what, the domestic league has got to be re-looked. It's got down to it. Like, this is terrible. We'll always have enough players at the top of it, like test level, kind of to be solid and that kind of stuff. But ODI cricket is a fast-paced, moving game, and the depth is just woeful. It's just nothing else to say for it. It's woeful. And I think there's, again, some pretty piss-poor administration going on at the lower levels. So I'm sorry, but I've got to get off my chest. The Proteas are dreadful right now. And it's not like they're dreadful as in like they're losing a bit. That's two games in a row now. They have not reached 200 runs.
Sorry. Why don't they have the people on the bench in cricket? I mean, if you lose players to injury, then don't the guys on the bench get up and fill in? Why did they have to go on with less players?
Because they're not allowed to have more than a certain amount of white players.
Yeah, so then make up the difference with the black reserve guy.
But there aren't any black reserve guys. That's why they've got to play.
Okay, all right. So it's not a simple case of mathematics.
No, it's a simple case of common sense does not prevail. Anyway, in football, it was the Nedbank Cup last night. Exciting times in local cup competition. Wits versus Cape Town City. Now, the interesting thing about the start of the season was that Wits took on Cape Town City right at the beginning. Benny McCarthy against Gavin Hunt. It was like, you know, the apprentice against the master. Well, Benny McCarthy has now won four times against Gavin Hunt, and it's kind of addictive how the two seasons have gone, really. Vets are just, they're nowhere. But four times these two have come head-to-head, and again, Cape Town City win last night. They won away. That was in the rain in Joburg. Ubuntu, it's Cape Town. So yeah, this is the team you were most interested about. They managed to beat Polokwane City 3-2. What an absolute shocker that one is.
I was looking at those results with bated breath.
Okay? I mean, the 3-2 this year. I mean, Polokwane City are a top flight. Ubuntu Cape Town, who knows where they come from. And then AmaZulu took on Tata Bucks, and they were 2-2 after full time, and they won 3-2 in extra time. Now the FA Cup goes into the fifth round, and that's very exciting for this weekend. We'll get into that tomorrow. But Alexis Sanchez has basically been found guilty of fraud, tax evasion, and has agreed to a 16-month suspended prison sentence.
Oh, jeez.
So, because these guys are rich and they have really great lawyers, they'll never actually go to prison. We saw that with Messi. But he basically dodged €1 million in tax. A guy that rich, he makes that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. What's new here?
He, like, dude, you dodged €1 million and you have this whole protracted, extended, horrible court case and stuff hanging over your head for €1 million. Ah, come on. In rugby, there's going to be Six Nations this weekend. That'll be hugely exciting to get into those fixtures as well. But the big thing to talk about, of course, is that the Winter Olympics is about to start. Now, we've all been just counting the days, counting the hours, and it's finally here in Pyeongchang. But Pyeongchang might be too cold.
But it's the Winter Olympics.
That's what you would say, Mabs, and you would be right. However, the problem with when it becomes too snow, there's a variety of things that happen. Firstly, it's cuck to be outside. So there's an opening ceremony going on. The Australian flag bearer doesn't want to be the flag bearer anymore because it's just too cold outside. We're looking at like minus 25 degrees with a wind chill factor coming in. So the stadium that they've built doesn't have central heating because it's going to be dismantled as soon as they're finished with it. So if you're a spectator in Pyeongchang, you will get there and they'll give you hand warmers, a heat pack, and a blanket and a heated cushion to sit on. Otherwise, you're in it for yourself. But like the Italian team was saying, that they don't want to leave the door, their rooms unless they really have to. And if they are around, they have to just keep moving because it is that horribly cold.
What, and the weather people there in Pyeongchang didn't see this coming?
Well, they're saying it's not terrible. I mean, look, Lillehammer, I think in Norway, was the coldest ever Winter Olympics with an average of minus 10. And day-to-day temperatures are not unseasonal for this part of the world, but the wind is picking up, and that's what's making it so unbearable. But because it's so cold, they've had to make fake snow. So when it gets this cold, the snow isn't good. Basically, it's just like, it's horrible. So they've got these big snow cannons where they basically put water and compressed air and they're just pumping out snow. So they spent like £4.5 million in creating better snow to deal with all the cold weather.
This is a whole production.
So if you, like some of the skiers, they're saying that they're basically their skis are ruined. When it gets this cold, the snow basically turns to very sharp, crystally kind of ice. And they're skiing, they throw the skis away. It's that bad. And then if you're in like the toboggan or the bobsled, you go down that ice, when it's this cold, the ice actually gets really sticky. So there's some very interesting things going on at Pyeongchang for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, but more than that, these all seem like things they should have really seen ages ago.
Well, tomorrow, Friday, that is the actual opening ceremony. So if you're looking for lots of people to come out, it's going to be a scattering of people, trust me, because these people thinking like, well, look, I've been training for 4 years to get to this point. I'm not going to go out and get pneumonia because it's like so bastardly cold out there. So who knows? But then Saturday, February the 10th, this is when everything starts. The cross-country skiing, the women will be doing 7.5 kilometers there. That's early morning. The short track speed skating, that's very exciting. Long track speed skating, less exciting. Look, there's just so much stuff on the go. There really is. It's all starting Saturday morning, South African time, probably around sort of 8 o'clock. That's where you can get the first action from Pyeongchang. I'm excited to see it. I'm waking up. I'm watching this.
So it starts this weekend, no?
Yeah, Saturday.
Okay, you know what? I think I might get into it.
Guys, the thing is, like, we don't have any dogs in the fight, so to speak, so we're not caring about anyone getting a medal or not getting a medal. Mm-hmm. So whenever you turn it on, you can pick your favorites.
Yeah.
How cool. I'm going for that guy. I'm going for this woman. It's going to be so fun. Saturday morning, Pyeongchang Winter Olympics officially gets underway. And that will be your sport for today. Today on The Bounce Show, which is 10 o'clock South African time here on Cliff Central, I'll be playing out my long drive golfing feature, which includes an interview with Joe Miller, who is the 2-time world champion and an absolute monster in the sport. This weekend is the World Long Drive, or the Long Drive World Series event in Dubai as well. So I'll be covering that. And unfortunately, yeah, I'm going to go into the Pro Tiers a bit more. And yeah, it's going to be a great sports show.
Do you know that Pyeongchang has also set a different record, just by the way?
What's that?
They are giving out 110,000 condoms, which will be available to all of the participants.
Yeah, we spoke about this last week. Fucking hell. It's like you just never listen to me.
110,000, so that's a new number as far as any Olympic.
Which is basically about 37 condoms per athlete.
Yes, 36.666666.
37.
They're not going to have time for 37. I mean, come on.
What else are you going to do?
You are competing. You are competing.
Yeah.
Prioritize.
Exactly. And the moment you're done, this is another reason why they go to the Olympics.
You drink to keep warm.
Or then you, Hannah, make use of those condoms. But anyway. Anyway.
Time for Said by Sia. That is when Sia says things
that are said by me. There we go. Thank you. So here's something very odd for Said by Sia this morning. It says that, I don't know, to a certain extent, as much as getting your military in check is important for certain countries, but actually global warming is as well. So over 60,000 Chinese soldiers and military personnel are being retasked with, let's call it a surprising new initiative, and that is planting trees. According to Asia Times, China's Central Military Commission announced that it would be moving regiments of the People's Liberation Army and some of the armed police officers more inland from their posts along the northern border so they can be reassigned to non-military tasks such as planting trees. In order to further pursue their goals of reforesting the country, China plans on planting at least 84,000 square kilometers of trees during 2018.
Go China.
Now, if you need some sort of idea of how big this is, well, that's roughly the size of Ireland. This will hopefully restore the country's forested regions to about 23% of their land mass, 2% more than the current amount. Now, Asia Times goes on to say that members of online military forums have explained that since they are still able to keep their current tasks, the troops are excited to relocate inland away from the icy northern temperatures. So it doesn't exactly mean that China will not be, you know, unsafe now just because their military is doing something else, but they're doing this healthy balance of things. But for me, what stuns me in a good way most about this is that actually China saying our priorities are our priorities, and as much as yes, we want to keep our country safe, and as much as we want our economy to boom, and as much as we want happy citizens, hey, we also have to look after our actual land. So global warming, let's actually try to combat that. So good on you, China. More than 60,000 soldiers of your own now being deployed to look after the environment and plant trees. Let's see how this goes in 2018.
Yeah, well done, China. Now that you got money from obviously polluting the world for about 20 years, you can now have the stance. And I appreciate that.
Or they're more with the outlook of, we understand what we have done, unfortunately, and we are taking responsibility by planting trees. Maybe, Ben.
Very good, Sia.
You are not buying that at all.
They can cover bush well with their, oh, we're now planting trees. But I mean, yeah, good for you.
That's said by Sia this morning.
All right, so on to the messages. And, well, there's a very, very long one from Graham. Graham, always love your chats. But I got to say, I don't think I quite agree with what you're saying here. Guys, yesterday's show, we need to talk. That first line would suggest that Graham's got a bone to pick with us, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it would. I mean, it's not just me.
Sure. Well, all right. He just wants to
talk. We need to talk. First off, people are brutally murdered and tortured in racist hate crimes. There are no sides. There is no right or wrong. That's it. Now, I know it's hard for people to fathom this. Yes, this time it's the Afrikaans farmers that are the victims. Suddenly, the popular narratives are shown to be bullshit. This isn't fallacious. This is fact. Now, I'm getting tired of being labeled right-wing for telling the truth. Not all of us can live in Justin Trudeau's colorful sock progressive hell fantasy land where we pretend all is dandy. Some of us see the facts, and it doesn't align with postmodern narratives. The truth will always seem like hate to those who hate the truth. Love from a straight white male. How else can I offend you this morning? Graham, I'm pretty sure that was my stance as well. It was, forget about these narratives, forget about who's being killed. These murders are senseless and they're terrible. I'm pretty sure that was what I got out too. Anyway, I'm not going to nitpick with you.
Can we also maybe be adults and get over people calling us things that we don't like?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a feminist, boo-hoo. Oh, so you're right-wing, boo-hoo. And then what? Yeah, keep it moving, maybe?
Exactly.
Can we all just keep it fucking moving, please?
Spot on. So, Graham, I mean, I'm with Mubs in this one. You know, it's okay to be white. It's okay to be anything
you
want.
It's okay to be a feminist. It's okay to be, like, it's okay to be whatever the fuck anybody wants to call you.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
So, don't feel like you're being ostracized or whatever. You know, so you just stay who you are, Graham. We've always said you be you. And yeah, facts, I think we should all aim for facts over whatever other crap is. And I agree with you. I think regardless who these farmers are, regardless of their ethnic background or whatever that is, the senseless murdering and massacring or whatever it is of them it's wrong. It's just, it's on a human level. This is what really bugs me. And that's why I said that Katie Hopkins, you can love her or hate her, she's exposing hateful crimes. Regardless of who this, the hate is being directed at, she's exposing something that we should all be looking at a human level beyond anything else. Yeah, this is what I don't like when Gareth goes away. Because I've got to be all serious and I've got to take on these things. And then I get philosophical and that's not me.
That's not you?
Oh. How would you describe yourself, Ben?
What is you, Ben?
Yeah.
What are you, Ben?
What is you?
What is you?
Guys, deep down, I'm actually light and fluffy.
That's me. Like Justin Trudeau's colorful
sock drawer.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm Justin Trudeau's sock drawer.
But Graham did give us quite a deep line in there. Something about the
truth. Yes, I will go back to it. Graham's line, which was so deep, was the truth will always seem like hate to those who hate the truth.
Oh!
Yeah, because the thing about it, the truth is it's really inconvenient. And I'm not sure where I read this recently or I heard this in a podcast or whatever, but you know, when you believe in something so adamantly, you'll only ever take information from things that back up with these beliefs. So the truth is always there. The hard thing about the truth is it doesn't take sides. Like Graham's saying, the truth is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just how it is. But if you're constantly looking to bolster your arguments of a certain argument, you'll never ever take the truth. You'll take things that will then
to
help
support
your stupid ideologies and things.
But isn't this indicative to the times and the way in which we live in these times? Case in point, who you follow on your social media.
Yeah.
You get wrapped up in your world and those are your beliefs and that is what you'll always, that's your perspective.
But it's always been the case. I don't know why we're making it seem as if this is a new development.
Has it?
Before social media, you picked your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You picked the people that you would phone from your telephone, checking their number in a telephone book. Like, that's always been the case. We've always surrounded ourselves with who we want. And 9 times out of 10, those are people who look like us, who sound like us, who share the same beliefs. This is not a new development.
I'd say it's definitely more amplified than
possibly.
That's one way.
Possibly, yeah.
Nowadays. But look, when in doubt, Mabali is right. Let's just keep it moving, people. You're not that special. Let's just keep it moving.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to move it right into the second hour. And that excites me. So does J. Cole, actually. What a combination.
This is CliffCentral.com.